guys.
We are here.
Welcome. Glad you could join us. You can come into our show.
Oh, I went to the beach yesterday and went to Sarasota. And it's normally an hour drive, an hour and 10 minutes, hour and 20 minutes. By the way, spring break is here. 4 hours to get home. I couldn't believe it.
It's probably one of the worst spring breaks I've ever seen as far as traffic. I told you the other day I went to Orlando.
I don't think I want to leave the house.
2.5 hours.
I think I'm going to stay here. I'm going to board up the house and be done with it.
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how much more Florida can handle as far as traffic and road.
All those pesky baby boomers.
Oh,
my gosh. They decided they come on vacation down here to Florida their whole lives, and now they're retiring. And now they have decided that what they're going to do is move here.
Florida's closed.
Florida doesn't want any more baby boomers. No, I hate to say that, unless you're conservative. Now, if you're a conservative baby boomer and you love Jesus and you carry a gun, you'll fit right in.
But still, though, where in the world are people going to go, man? I've had people come over here from California, like customers, and visit now, and they're going, we thought California had bad traffic. You're staying in Orlando for the weekend to visit a theme park with our kids, and we tried to get to the office. It's 30 miles away from our hotel, and it took us 2.5 hours to get here. And I'm like, well, that was quick. You guys got in the fast lane with that one.
Well, the problem is, and let me just digress for a second. Let me vent. You know, you guys probably don't hear this, but give me this camera so I can stay on them both together. Is that when you go there, there is no shortcut. There is no back road now. Well, everybody knows about it.
I was about to say, back in the day, you know, we all knew the backways in Auburndale, Florida, Lakeland, Orlando. We took all the Orange Grove routes, all the back roads. The problem is now with GPS introduced, everybody gets that, oh, take a right turn here. It's 5 minutes faster. Take a right turn here. And it has all these detours now. So all the backways that we used to know are now worse than the other ways.
No, it's crazy. I mean, I've taken as long over 2 hours before to get from Disney. It used to take 20 minutes.
Well, speaking of wild things, though, this is pretty wild. You guys saw, just bring this out there, gold.
We told you to buy gold at 800.
Gold.
We told you.
Hit a ceiling today. First ceiling, it broke through. And this is a big number here, 3,000 an ounce. Thought I would throw that out there for everybody that was telling me that gold was a bad investment a couple years ago.
Well, I had one guy tell me.
They said it was a relic.
No, as we said, archaic relic. Relic. The past. You don't need this. I'm like, okay, whatever.
It's not going to do anything but go down. Yeah. It was like 1,500 an ounce. They're like, it'll be in the 100 range shortly again. And I'm like,
good. I'll buy more than 100.
I don't think it will be, but go on with that one. But also, too, if you guys saw the product of the week, the B Complex formula going on sale. And I request this the other day because we always drink these in the morning. And I'm going to put together the Fit Food Purple Stick kit. I know a lot of times people run into a mess in the morning. They're running late,
in a hurry,
busy. A lot of times you don't have time to make eggs.
We just drank.
But this is such a good platform with 2 to 3 scoops of protein on the purple stick when you got to run out the door. And I'm talking, you can have it done in, I mean, you see how fast I make them. I kind of make
minute,
a mess.
You drink it in the car.
30 seconds.
Why do we make messes like this? This is awful.
We're going to be getting a whole new studio here shortly. We're working on the graphics on it right now and the renderings. Then we're going to do like a granite or quartz table in here so we can wipe it down.
This thing's kind of like sandpaper.
Well, we kind of threw this together and then we kind of left it.
Well, it works. You know what they say? My daddy used to always tell me, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But, you know, sometimes things just need to be updated.
We got to upgrade, though. We got to upgrade some stuff on here. So, again, be sure to check that out. I'll have it on the special product discount page. And I'll send an email out to everybody. Do a real big sale on it with the Fit Food. And also, too, you guys seen a few of the kits we put together on here and some of the emails we put out with the Basic Healthy Lifestyle Kit. We did a big email on that. So be sure to stay up to date on all those sales and specs that we're putting together for you guys. And this is interesting. We're talking about food now. It says the USDA, their infinite stupidity, cuts to its lunch program even worse now. They said the USDA cuts two programs that gave kids and food banks over $1 million to purchase foods from local farmers and ranchers.
They got rid of that?
Got rid of it. This was one of the only good programs that the USDA had going on with local schools. And basically the schools were getting government grants from the USDA to buy money, to buy product, to buy local produce from local farmers. They're not getting rid of that because they're basically saying that it's costing too much money. So, again, while they're going out giving subsidies to all these other groups and doing all these discounts, and basically the USDA is allowing all these different compounds to be on the market with the FDA, we're now cutting the only one good program we have left that was to purchase food from local farmers and ranchers for the schools.
Doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
Another thing doesn't surprise me. American Airlines had another fire on an airplane.
Oh, my gosh.
And, American Airlines plane erupts into flames at Denver Airport as terrified passengers in the freezing weather are forced to escape onto a wing. Wait a minute. So they run them out the window. Yeah, I mean, look at this. Look at this. The thing's on fire.
I got to ask this question because if you've been a pilot on here, everybody's been on a plane, right? We've all been on planes. We've all been on commercial planes. They tell you, in the event of emergency, essentially you have the exits over the wings, or they have the slides that are going to come down. They have all these emergency things you're going to do. You're at the airport. You're at probably the best possible place to have an emergency with a fire, with EMT, with medical, with all that. Why did they put everybody out on the wing with no way to get off the wing, considering the wings would hold the fuel? There's a fire on the plane, and now everybody, they're stuck up there. They're stuck up there.
I know the answer. Pick me.
You were the right answer in the front.
I was that kid that used to sit on the front row in college.
First,
I was that kid.
Me, I got the answer.
No, they always called on me. And but chances are, if you look at that smoke, that cockpit, that whole fuselage filled with smoke.
Yeah,
look at that. And if that fuselage filled with look at the smoke.
You got stairs right here. Something else.
Well, they made who knows where the fire was located. I mean, who knows what was going on with it, but they got them out there so they could breathe. And quite frankly, I mean, that's a nightmare scenario.
No, it is. It's a horrible scenario. But I mean, you got.
Well, if that thing is size,
I got to put up a ladder right here to try to get people down there.
Well, the problem is that thing could turn into a fireball in a second, and that's the
fuel's
problem.
In the wings.
Oh, I know.
So I guess that may have been the fastest way to get everybody out.
Well, that may not have been a full flight. That might have been all the passengers came out that one wing.
Okay.
Okay. So I mean, so they're look at the smoke. So they're trying to get them out of the smoke so they don't breathe a bunch of toxins, and
what a mess! I mean, you want to talk about the shares of American Airlines going down again?
Well, no, we need to hire more trannies. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, why not?
What is going on with the planes? Though?
I'm telling you,
wheels falling off. We got doors blowing out.
You know,
flipping upside down.
Now let me stop for a second. I'm going to back up on the tranny thing. This may just be a DEI hire. It may be some other person. Now, you know, the air traffic controllers the other day, these DEI air traffic controllers are being hired. One of the top guys over there at the FAA or FDA or whatever you want to call them.
FAA?
Whatever you want to call them. You know, they were giving the answers out to the guys that were coming in as minorities. Giving the answers. These are the answers to the questions.
To get the job?
For the air traffic controllers, yeah. And they wouldn't give the answers to the white people. And you think, well, that's not really that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal when you have mid-air collisions. That's a pretty big deal. You got to make sure these people know what they're doing. This is not a cheat sheet. This is not what you need to do here. This is not okay.
No, this is that one mandatory class you got to take in college to get through, and you're never going to use it.
I had a friend of mine. He loved to cheat in college. I'll be honest with you. In fact, he used to say, when in doubt, scope about.
Oh, gosh.
It's better to cheat than to repeat. Unless you're an air traffic controller, that's not okay.
You kind of need to know what's going on.
it's terrible. And I laugh when I see stuff like this, but it's not really funny because, I mean, how many times did they not put the plane back together right? Now they have a fire inside. Now they're running out on the wing. And we're seeing this over. Now airplane stocks are crashing everywhere right now. Never had enough. And airplane flights are way down. Maybe they'll lower the prices. It's so stinking expensive to fly now.
The prices are getting nuts. I mean, I was talking to a buddy that was down the other day from Montana, and I was talking about flying up there. And it was a flight from Tampa to Dallas-Fort Worth to, like,
Missoula.
Montana. Yeah. And I was like, it was one layover, Texas or whatever. Dude, round-trip flight, coach, was like
$850.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, dude, $850 for a round trip flight there and back?
It used to cost $850 to fly out to Europe.
That's what I was about
and
to
back,
say.
Round
I remember
trip,
seeing first class tickets were like $1,000, $1,200 to Europe back in the day.
I never saw one of those. That'd be nice.
I have. They had specials on them when I looked at going over there years ago. And now it's like, I mean, forget about that. That's not even those prices.
Whenever I fly to Europe, which I used to fly there all the time, I always try to fly business class.
Yeah,
you know, on points. And because I like to lay down flat because sitting up, I had that back surgery years ago.
7-8 hour flight's rough.
When I got to sit perpendicular for that long and not stretch out, it really starts messing with my back a little bit. So I got to be careful with it. But yeah, but this airplane flight's another, you know, just more inefficiencies. We put the worst person that we can possibly find in a position of authority to make sure that they have, so they feel good, so they get their trophy. That's what this is. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Everybody gets a participation trophy.
Well, it had to be some problem with maintenance. Because, I mean, those planes get constant maintenance. That's when I got around airplanes years ago when he had that 210, and I was flying with him some and learning about it. I had no idea the maintenance and upkeep they require on those planes. No. Regular planes. Commercial flights are insane, the maintenance.
Well, and what they like on a regular airplane, like, if, for instance, you have to replace certain parts based on time, not on mileage.
It doesn't even matter if they're perfect shape.
Yeah.
Doesn't even matter. They're fully functioning, perfect shape. It's a mandatory part replaced on an annual.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's crazy.
And if you're flying certain planes and you're actually carrying passengers for hire,
requirements are
you have to replace the engine and overhaul it like every 5 or 6 years on a piston engine.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how many hours you got on it.
The jet engines are way more. You got the hot sections and everything.
But then you got the hot. So that's halfway through the rebuilding of the entire engine. They come and replace all the stuff that gets hot in the engine. That's why they call it hot sections. Yeah. And in some of these engines can be up to $1 million to $2 million on these jets on one engine.
Right.
And that's not even the big ones. Some of these big boys, who knows how many millions of that is to fly.
But you can't – they will not let the plane fly unless it's been replaced. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what's going on.
And so then you have people that basically don't know what they're doing and they're being put in a position of authority.
Landing gears falling off when they're taking off and all
that. I had a friend of mine. He's got a private jet. And he's a great guy, a good friend. And he had to have his landing gear inspected. It was a 10-year inspection. Okay?
Yeah.
And they didn't even do anything to it. They x-rayed the landing gear. Just x-rayed it. Didn't do anything. $250,000 to run the x-ray machine.
That's with replacing the parts, too?
No, there were no parts replaced. Just
to x-ray it?
Yeah. $250,000. He was so mad.
Can't believe this. He has a deep pocket to start having that happen.
Well, now he's got it out on lease. He had enough of it.
Well, if the plane sits and you don't use it very much, it's not very cost effective.
Well, it's not very cost effective. It's not very good for it either. Because you need to keep it running all the time. Yeah. So that way, keep the engine. That way, you know what's going on with it.
Back to the cars, you got to run them too. Mm-hmm. Anyways, this is an interesting story as well. Now, they're saying Germany's foreign intelligence agency determined with 80% to 95% certainty at the beginning of 2020. That the outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic originated from a lab leak where they were mutating the virus at the Wuhan Institute in China, but government kept the information under lock and key. This is a huge bombshell that nobody's talking about. And again, everybody knew this as far as the United States too, because we knew it happened with Fauci, and we knew that this whole thing, you see these spike proteins up here, you always like talking about those sand spurs.
Nasty things.
But we knew that the government had been funding Wuhan to do the research on mutating these viruses with basically the COVID-19. And now we're finding out that Germany already knew their foreign intelligence at the beginning of 2020 that it all – I mean, this is documented now. The report published on Wednesday in Die Zeit was the result of an 18-month investigation, found out that Germany Chancellor Angela Merkel commissioned a B&D operation code named Project Serama that targeted Chinese agencies and research institutions. The investigation concluded that the Wuhan lab leak was the source of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Merkel government prohibited the agency from releasing those results at the beginning of middle 2020.
Well, it wasn't a leak. This is intentionally released.
Correct.
They wanted to say this was released by accident. No one.
Well, but think about it here, though. It doesn't say that it was an accidental leak. You notice the verbiage they put out here, the Wuhan lab leak. Yep. It doesn't say accidental leak.
Well, you know, the boys who run the planet like to play with a petri dish and turn things around. So, but by the way, this is an interesting story. President Trump signs an executive order that he will ignore all lower court rulings until the Supreme Court rules on the constitutionality of activist judges. This is a big deal.
That's interesting.
This is a big deal because what he's saying basically is these judges are getting these positions of power, these appointees. Remember, Biden put in hundreds of judges.
District federal judges.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Trump signs EO stating he will ignore all lower court rulings because, you know, the activist judges are attempting to usurp executive power.
Yep.
Today's activist judges ordered the release of illegal migrants back into America, told the president of the United States he can't revoke security clearances of George Soros-funded law firm Perkins Coal. And yet Article 2 of the Constitution states that the executive power shall have that authority. And so, you know, when you stop and you look at this stuff, you start thinking about it, you start going, this is crazy. But Trump's right about this, by the way. You can't go in if you're a judge and decide to do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, however you want to do it, because you've been given as a position of power. Breaking, Judge Tanya Chutkan just granted a request by Democrats to uncover the identities of Doge personnel and also the perimeters of Dodge's and Musk's authority. So now federal judges are aiding in the woke mob in their effort to dox Dodge employees. This is ridiculous. A new activist judge demands Pete Hegseth retract statement on transgender individual being disqualified from military service. Orders the retraction by Monday. This is a joke, right? These judges really seriously need to be rechecked. Pete should reply simply no. breaking leftist federal judge court. Judge takes over presidential authority, removing it from Trump. The judge modified his order barring enforcement of all of Trump's EO on DEI funding, now applies to all federal agencies, not just to the party of the lawsuit. They're coming in, and these judges are ruling from the bench and saying, I deem it so. I'm a federal court judge. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and go against Trump, and I'm going to say everything he did in executive order is basically void.
They don't have that authority, especially lower federal courts.
They don't have it.
They're district, federal, and everything else as far as they don't have the authority.
But what they're doing is this is going up for appeal now to the Supreme Court.
So they're tying it up.
But the good news is the Supreme Court basically is a conservative court right now. But the authority that Trump's been using in a lot of these executive orders is something he has been given power for the executive funding. But the balance back will go to the court. The Supreme Court.
That's how
it's supposed to work.
But see, the way that these federal courts, these lower federal courts are forgetting is that a lot of this stuff is under national security, with what's going on with these migrants and what's going on at the border. So they don't have any ability to rule on this and say, well, the executive branch doesn't have a right to maintain national security with a lower invasion from migrants. You have to let them all back in. This is insane that we're dealing with these – they bragged about it.
Oh, yeah.
All those guys, Brad, they're like, Biden's got 250 federal judges in now.
Well, yeah, here's a perfect example. This just goes back to me. I'm not going to mention any names. Well over 20 years ago now, we attended a church, and the pastor kind of got off the rails. He really got off the rails bad. I'm not going to go into detail. And what happened is they were having a meeting, and we had lost about two-thirds of the church. Had already left.
Remember that?
And so one of the parishioners or one of the people that had been there in the church and had really helped establish the church, he was also a pastor, asked me to speak. I told him I didn't want to do it. He said, no, you need to speak. And I said, no, we have to have authority here. We have to have some kind of checks and balances. And so I told him, I said, okay, I'll do it. And so I went before the church at a meeting, if we were talking about the budget, and I brought up the fact that we had lost two-thirds of our budget, that we basically were hemorrhaging cash, and that we need to take a look at replacing some individuals. And I was immediately told to sit down and basically shut up. I mean, I was run out. I got walked out. It was horrible. And I thought to myself, why am I involved in this?
Yeah.
And before it was over with, that individual bankrupted the church and quit, and the church was given away to some other church. It was given away. And I thought to myself, wow. But I tried to call it out for what it is. And a lot of this stuff that Trump is doing with these executive orders, he's having the exact same type of thing, but on a much larger scale. He's coming in and saying, we can't do this, this, and this. We can't give away billions and billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars. And these judges are going, oh, yes, we can. And you can't say we can't, ha-ha. And that's what this is. And Trump's right about it. This is from the Geller report. I've posted, as you guys can see it. But he should have the authority from the executive branch, and then the Supreme Court should have the ability to say, no, that's okay. No, that's not okay. But I told you guys, there are about 60 different actions right now against these federal courts against Trump for these executive orders, because he's trying to basically say, no, it's not okay to give money away. No, it's not okay to have people not work and get paid. It's not okay to put people in positions of power that'll cause the airplane to catch on fire at the airport, and everybody's standing out on the wing. This is not okay anymore. And they say, yes, it is. Everybody should be allowed to flee the airport and flee the airplane if it blows up because some idiot didn't know what they were doing. Whoa, that was pretty intense until I took the protein, purple stick stack a minute ago. Man, I'm feeling pretty good right now.
This is funny. Thank goodness. I remember this whole thing I saw when we were at D.C. years ago. Exclusive Representative Andrew Clyde celebrates demolition of D.C.'s BLM Plaza. He said it was a stain on the city. Spark removal now as they're removing this from the D.C. Plaza. This whole thing was insane, considering now how we found out over the last year and a half how unbelievably corrupt that BLM George Soros group was funding, the tens of millions of dollars that they were funneling through, and none of the money was going to back to black communities, to go in to support anybody. None of it. Zero. It was all – remember they had some of those guys that were representing the higher-ups of BLM. That one girl bought like three or four houses. I'm just burning money hand over fist. Nothing was going back to the communities that they allegedly were supporting. And, the whole thing was a complete and total joke. And so, again, they're getting rid of this entire plaza, as they're pretty much saying now that the whole thing was a complete and total sham. And I told her about that from the very beginning. It was a communist agenda. It was more of a Bolshevik revolution. And why in the world was it that, local businesses couldn't even stay in business during COVID? You were told that you weren't essential. You had to shut down your business. You weren't allowed to do anything. But yet you had these groups that were coming in and protesting with thousands of people downtown, running around, screaming and yelling and burning down cities. And they go, well, it was a mostly peaceful protest. As fires ensue behind them and you see entire city areas on fire, It was an embarrassment. It really was.
It was horrible. Oh, by the way, Zelensky has no intentions of honoring a ceasefire, which is true. And Putin is saying he's not going to honor the ceasefire either, because all it is giving Zelensky the ability to reposition troops and regroup. And he's right. If you think about what Putin's saying, he's right. Because if you've got a war going on and you've got to move 100,000 troops from one place to another place, it's difficult to do it under fire.
No, absolutely.
You know, because you're going to lose a bunch of the troops trying to move them. But if you can get the ceasefire to occur, then you can move all the troops where you want them real quick.
Conflict.
And so Putin says, no, I'm not going to do that. It's silly. I'm in the middle of a war. I'm not going to do this. And, of course, Zelensky has no idea what he's doing. He's just following protocol, what they're telling him to do.
He has no military strategic history at all. The guy's a stinking queer. I mean, all he does is run around and do stupid stuff for dances and parties when he was younger. He has no military background. He has no understanding of movement troops, anything around.
Well, not all queers are stinking.
I didn't say he was stinking physically. I'm using that as a metaphor because he's an embarrassment. He's been used now as this tool for Ukraine. Killed millions of boys and guys over there. Millions of Ukrainians, in my opinion, now, over this last just debacle. For no reason, no strategy at all. There's been so many reports of people that I've talked to that knew certain groups that were going over there, including contractors, that they had no idea. Say, oh, this is the front line. Here's your training. You went through basic training. We conscripted you. Go die for Ukraine. And they're like, what are we dying for?
Yeah, and I'm not defending gays here, but I mean, some gays are pretty smart. They're pretty trained pretty well.
Zelensky's
not one of them.
No, there's guys that have been in the military and stuff like that, the Army, the Air Force. Not really the Marines.
Oh, by the way, now they're trying – there's a movement now to label Christ as King hate speech right before Easter in the latest attack on Christians. And you stop and you look at this, you go, wait a minute, this isn't okay. But you got to remember, if there was something if this was against Jews or against Muslims or against Hindus or against Buddhists, this would never happen. But because Christianity is the only true religion and Jesus Christ created the heavens and the earth – and he so loved us that God sent him to us to allow him to become a sacrifice for us, to allow his blood to sanctify us. This group of people that run the planet are absolutely incensed against him because he's the one who has the power and the authority. So they're doing everything they possibly can to turn his people and his creation against him. That's why they do this, and that's why it's okay with the Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan that runs the planet, because they want this to be occurring like this, because they want to try to degrade as much as they possibly can who Jesus is. So when you say Christ is King, it's basically hate speech. You know, to me it's amazing how Lucifer almost always overplays his hands and does stuff like this, and it's like the same thing. He tries to stage a coup d'etat against God Almighty. The problem with the coup d'etat against God Almighty is that God's omnipresent. He already knew what you were going to do. You can't defeat an omnipresent God. It just doesn't work that way. And, you know, it's like telling somebody your strategy. You know, years ago, we were at FSU's football game in Pasadena.
Yep.
Remember that? And all of a sudden, they start calling our plays out from their bench before our plays are snapped.
Yeah.
Remember that? You can't win against that.
Well, no, I remember we were in the stands, and it was nuts because we watched a couple of plays, and all of a sudden, you could tell we had a pretty strategic play. And all of our guys that we positioned, as soon as we snapped the ball, they were covered.
And one of our guys came over and told Coach Fisher, he said, they're calling our plays. They could hear them. They were calling our plays from their bench. So when you try to go against an omnipresent God, it's like kind of like that. You're not going to win. And so, but they want to go ahead and do everything they possibly can to degrade Christianity to the best of their ability. And the thing about it is that, you know, by the way, you know, let's look at it this way. You know, let's look at Muhammad. Let's look at Buddha. Let's look at the Hindu gods. Well, how many of those have returned from the dead to talk to you and basically forgive you and shed their blood from you? Yeah, that's right, zero. Just always remember that. It's so very, very important that we understand who Jesus is and what he did for us and how he sacrificed himself for us to bring us back to that of the Father. And I've talked about that many times as far as with metaphors, et cetera. So always remember, that's why they attack Christianity. It has nothing to do with the fact that these guys know they're wrong. It's the fact that they don't like the fact that God, that Jesus, is who he says he is, Austin. Yep.
What's your next story?
This is another wild story now where they're using – I'll explain to you guys in detail what they're starting to do with these banks. Major banks with thousands of locations sparks fear after abruptly closing 38 branches out of nowhere. They said America's seventh biggest bank, TD Bank, has shut 38 branches now as it continues to roil from massive penalties related to failures and anti-money laundering controls.
Whoa.
Understand what they're doing, though, now here is they're using this as an excuse and saying because these banks didn't control all this money and basically didn't go in and continually restrict what people could do and flag people for any type of money laundering, allegedly, they're getting fined. So the banks, roughly 1,100 branches in the U.S., they shut down 38 out of nowhere. What's going down to this, though, overall? This is an explanation in real short detail. The banks are realizing that brick-and-mortar stores are not as financially feasible as they used to be anymore because everybody's using digital currency or they're using, you know, basically the credit cards. Nobody's getting cash anymore. Nobody needs to see bank tellers anymore. They just go in and do whatever they want as far as people do everything online with online banking. And so what's happened is now is they're realizing they can shut these banks down, save an enormous amount of money, and it pushes again, makes it more difficult for people to actually go in and withdraw cash because I know there's banks now.
Or deposit cash.
Banks now. You go in a lot of them. There's one over in – I think it's Chase over in Lakeland. I had gone there with a buddy a while back ago, and he went to do something. He was in town. He's from out of town. And we went there, and there wasn't a person there. They had locked door thinking it was security, and then there was like 8 ATMs inside, and then you had these little booth areas you could go in and take time, and you had a virtual meeting with a teller over a computer. This is over in Lakeland now. Not a single other person in the store, except security got the front door. And I thought to myself, how creepy and ominous is this now? We're getting to a point where you're going to a bank to deposit money, and you've got to go meet with somebody digitally, and you've got an ATM that can control. What happens if they flag you in the future? What happens if they say, well, you said something bad on Facebook? Your account's restricted.
Chinese credit score, buddy.
My point exactly. You don't even have somebody to yell at in person.
I should be yelling at
somebody. I'm joking. I'm being sarcastic. But I'm saying there's not even anybody to talk to. Oh, do I need to see a branch manager? I have my money here. What's going on? No. You could talk to them over a computer screen, and they could shut it off at any time if they don't want to talk to you anymore, and you can be escorted out. This is where they're doing with these banks. This is why they're shutting a lot of them down. And this is why you're starting to see, you're going to see a lot more of these bank shutdowns as well. As some of these banks, too, are so leveraged out with what's going on in the markets, you're going to see a lot of this start happening in the future.
Well, what they were doing when the interest rates were really, really low, they were investing in T-bills and getting 2 or 3 or 4% interest on it. And they were doing a 40-fold leverage on it.
Yeah.
So they're making huge amounts of money. Yeah. And now they can't do that anymore because the interest rates are too high. So they're having some major problems. By the way, an A-list star enrages woke fans by coming out as a religious Tucker Carlson fan. Now, this is a weird one for me because Gwen Stefani's been pretty liberal, but she's enraged liberal fans after reposting a Tucker Carlson interview about Christianity. The former No Doubt frontwoman, who's now 55 years old, has been hit with backlash after she praised the sit-down between the right-wing commentator and the actor Jonathan Rumi. Rumi, a devout Catholic, spoke to Carlson for almost an hour and a half about Lent, his role playing Jesus in the crowdfunded TV show and Prayer Ab Hollow, which Stephanie has also promoted. Wow, Jonathan Rumi, you're a powerful, inspirational human. What an enlightening, intelligent, beautiful interview. Thank you for being so much, Stephanie Savani wrote. But now, what's interesting about this is, you know, I don't know where her faith is. I really don't know. But, you know, she's been involved with a lot of liberal causes over the years, but now she's doing this. Now, here's the thing you've got to look at. You know, it says Gwen Stefani went from everyone punk girlfriend to marrying a country artist, have lots of plastic surgery, get more money, vote Trump. That's like selling out looks like fronts, another one added. The singer came out for similar criticism in December when she promoted Hallow, a Catholic prayer and meditation app, which costs $69 a year for a premium subscription. Among those criticizing her was selling Sunset star Crystal Staus, who expressed incredulity at the Pray app. Okay. All of this stuff is interesting to me. Now, you have to ask yourself a question, okay? Can we as a Christian take this as a win and just be done with it? The answer is yes, we can. And we say, okay, we have another A-lister basically coming out and saying that, you know, let's promote Christianity. That's good. I have no problem with that. But we have to ask ourselves another question. A lot of these A-listers, and Austin will agree with me on this, they have PR firms that run all of their apps and all of their things. There's no guarantee she even did this. I'm just saying this. Now, she could have done it. I'm not saying that she's not, but she could have been instructed to do it. She could have been told, hey, this is where the trend is going. A lot of these people follow trends. I've got a friend of mine who's a pastor. He's always following trends. If the trend is you push your jacket up, he pushes his jacket up. If the trend is you wear boots on the platform, he wears boots on the platform. If the trend is you tuck in your shirt, he tucks in his shirt. If the trend is you don't tuck in the shirt, you don't tuck in the shirt. And I'm not like that. I'm not like that. I don't follow trends. I follow leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what I try to do all the time. And I try to always put God first in my life. Now, sometimes I don't do it as well as I need to, but I try. And that's all we're asked to do is just do the best we can. That's it. But the reality is that a lot of these A-listers are going out now because they see the Trump movement as being so powerful, and they see what the Democrats have done as being so egregious in the general population's opinion polls that they're following the trend. Now, whether or not Gwen Stefani did this or not, I don't know. I just hope and pray that she's promoting something to pray with, and the guy who plays Jesus. I hope and pray that she's being legitimate. I hope and pray that she's had an epiphany and she's really having a relationship with God now, and that her and Blake Shelton are going to church and praying on an ongoing basis. That's what I want to believe. Now you think, well, yes, you're being naive. Okay, let me be naive a little bit, just every once in a while, because I want to at least take a win when we get one, Austin. And I thought this was really good, and I really like the fact that the Daily Mail and a lot of other national publications covered this, because quite frankly, at least it lets everybody know if we're going to trend towards Jesus, why don't we all trend to Jesus all the time? My opinion. What do you think, Austin?
I support the current thing.
There you go.
I remember I saw this years ago when it came out during COVID. He's got his vaccines. He's got his Ukraine flag. He's got his BLM stamp. He's got his mask on. He's got his other little queer flag behind him, whatever he's doing here. And this is a big joke. And I'm not saying she's doing this at all. I'm not saying that Gwen Stefani is doing this. What I'm saying is this is such a joke now because so many people have seen this where it doesn't matter what's happening. It's the current thing. So they're going to support it. They're going to promote it. They're going to stamp it. They're going to love it. They're going to embrace it. And they're going to promote it because it's the new cool thing to do. And this happened a lot with everything.
Well, the new cool thing to do is support Jesus.
No, I'm cool. I'm cool with that. Why the only reason why I don't think this was something that she's doing to be trendy on it, because everybody pretty much knows you can support anything in the media and in Hollywood except Jesus Christ, flat out.
Okay, well, they have an atavistic history.
That's my point. You can support anything. You can be all pro full-term abortion. I pro tranny this, and everybody claps and applauds you and puts you on a pedestal. You say Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, they go, whoa, 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 whoa. You can't say that. You can say anything but that. You can say you're Muslim. You can say anything. You can't say you're Christian. And so that's why I think she probably did do this, because quite frankly, she's going to get a lot of blowback from the publishers, from basically a lot of these producers, because they don't like this at all.
I remember years ago, I had a family member that graduated medical school, and she was asked to say a prayer at the commencement service.
Yeah.
This is decades ago. And she was told you cannot use the name of Jesus.
Right.
You know?
Can say God. Yeah. Is in reference to basically.
And I told her, I said, yeah, what are they going to do to you? If you say that in the name of Jesus, I pray.
Yeah.
Your prayer is done.
Yeah.
And what are they going to throw you out, rail you out?
Well, and they put it at the end of the prayer, so you got the whole prayer through, and you do it at the very end, so they can't cut your mic.
Well, yeah, you're done.
Yeah.
You know, and so to me, it's like, if I'm ever given the chance to pray in the name of Jesus, I pray in the name of Jesus. Well, I've been asked to pray before, and I always tell them, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. If that's not okay with you, I'm not the guy to pray.
Yeah.
I'm not that guy, because when I pray, I expect. Well, I know what happens is the power that we create through scalar energy when we pray is incredible. And so I'm not going to be that guy who's going to be sitting there going, oh, I'm going to be all mealy mouse about this. I'm not going to do this right. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to be strong for Christ, and I'm going to be able to do what I need to do all the time in the best of my ability. I mean, you know, Rob Pugh's asked me to come up to the conference next month. This is in a few weeks from now, and I'm going to be talking about the power of prayer up there in Wisconsin, and we'll be discussing all that, so we're going to have fun with all that. So I'm looking forward to that conference, too, and meeting a bunch of guys, by the way.
And speaking of nonsense from Hollywood and all these other groups that are spending this money, Doge now cancels the NIH grant. This is the National Institute of Health to prevent pregnancy in transgender boys. There was a significant amount of money, over $1 million, on research grants from the NIH for preventing pregnancy in transgender boys. So this is females that are on hormone replacement therapy because they want to be boys, meaning they're going on testosterone, other forms of pharmaceutical drugs to try to make themselves a boy, and how to prevent pregnancy in these girls that are being confused and transition to a boy.
Okay, here's the question I have, and forgive me for being crude here. I'm not trying to be crude. You got a girl wanting to be a boy. Why is she still having sex with boys?
Thank you. I was just about to ask that. I know it's kind of a weird topic here. But then, so she's not trans. She's not gay. She's just confused. This entire conversation now about this topic has become so perverted and so convoluted. It doesn't even make stupid sense. It doesn't. None of it makes sense anymore to anybody that actually has rational, concrete thought. Zero sense. And so they looked at it and said, why are we spending $620,000 on a grant this year to figure out how to keep transgender boys from getting pregnant from National Institute of Health? This is why I'm glad RFK Jr.'s gotten there and put some sense in the stuff, because we need to be looking at what's going on with the food supply, why glyphosate is contaminating everything, why cancer rates are skyrocketing, why ultra-processed food is being pushed on every single shelf in every store now, why all these different these additives and preservatives are being added to all this food without any type of oversight from the FDA. Here's another article here from The Defender. The FDA has pretty much been letting food companies decide if their ingredients and additives are safe.
That's not okay.
Right back to what I was going to. So why in the world is the NIH, National Institute of Health, blowing money on this asinine stuff when we need to be looking at why the FDA pretty much allows these corporations to police themselves with gross loopholes, which basically generally recognize as safe loopholes? So they go, we've looked at it. This compound's safe. This is what they did with Red 40. It's generally recognized as safe as an additive.
Well, the same thing.
It's not.
Well, you know, they still have trans fats in foods.
Still, they just changed the amount on the label as far as to make the serving size smaller.
I mean, they should have made them illegal. They should have said, we can't put any trans fats in food.
They know it's directly linked to heart disease. Yeah. Directly linked to it.
Oh, by the way, Democrat has a meltdown in the House hearing after Republican refers to a transgender representative, Sarah McBride, as Mr.
I saw this.
This is funny.
This is wild.
Yeah.
I'll show a video.
Democrat Representative Bill Keating, a Democrat out of Massachusetts. Yeah, that's in Massachusetts. They love those trannies. Erupted at a House hearing on Tuesday after Republican Representative Keith Self properly identified transgender Sarah McBride as a male pretending to be a female as Mr. The episode.
He said it.
You know, any other time in America, I would just sit back and say, this is fake news, but it's not. The episode happened during a House Foreign Affairs Subcommittee on Europe subcommittee hearing, and is the latest incident of Republican lawmakers rejecting McBride's self-proclaimed female identity. McBride was elected as the first transgender-identified member of Congress on November 2024. The hearing was immediately adjourned after Keating responded to suppose Ms. Jenner of McBride by yelling and pounding his fist. I mean, he pitched a little biatch fit. It was unbelievable. I mean, he's just making a...
A duly elected representative the right way.
Now McBride is denouncing what she is calling Republican attempts to divide.
He gets so mad. I will not. We will commit. We will basically stop this in order. We'll no longer go along with this unless you respond to her as Mrs. McBride. He's like, it's Mr. McBride. He gets up and runs off, gets so mad, he's got to go in the corner and start squeezing some Play-Doh, probably some transgender Play-Doh, and starts going off. I'm done. I will not be in this meeting anymore. And I'm like,
I wonder if they can find a transgender puppy for him to play.
Oh, my God. That doesn't exist.
Well, I'm sure they can try to make one.
Make one.
Oh,
but I was shocked. I was so
Well, I watched this, and I just started laughing. And I said, this is just absolutely insane. What's going on here? I mean, it really is. Oh, by the way, NATO is about to get itself shut down here with the United States pulling out.
I really
hope that happens.
Oh, imagine that. We're not going to be giving them billions of dollars a year. They can't function without us.
And here's an interesting one that some people are interpreting as the end of the chemtrail day and age, but we're still seeing chemtrails here everywhere. Hegseth says the Pentagon no longer does climate change crap. We do training and war fighting. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth has confirmed that the department no longer engages in climate change. Hegseth assured the American people that the Department of Defense is now focused on training and war fighting. The Pentagon chief made the remarks while responding to a post from CNN's Haley Britsky. Britsky had shared a story about the DOD, Department of Government, cutting climate change programs in the Pentagon. The DOD and DOJ, Dodge, have said they plan to cut climate programs in the Pentagon, but officials and experts are warning that climate efforts at DOD are directly linked to military readiness and say cuts could put troops and military operations at risk. Now, let me stop here for a second. A lot of the chemtrails, you know, are increasing the amount of metallic ions in the atmosphere, and it's used for extended radar, you know, pictures. A lot of it's used for basically increasing the amount of conductivity for, you know, 5G, 6G. A lot of it is being used for, yet this one, get ready, this is going to be a weird one, detecting exotic propulsion systems in the upper ionosphere. In other words, UFOs. They want to be able to know where they all are so they can either shoot them down or capture them and retro-engineer the technology. You know, hey, I'm going to say something kind of funny here. This is going to be, and we may have already done this. If you really want to know a lot about UFOs, why don't you just go to Antarctica? I mean, you know, look at Admiral Byrd, the little thing he talked about. I mean, so if you really want to retro-engineer this stuff, why don't you just go on down there and take over a few of those bases down there that are being run by these entities?
That's why I've asked 50,000 times. Nobody's ever really going to give me a direct answer because everybody pretty much looks at it as the same scope I do. If there's nothing in Antarctica except penguin watching and it's ice sculptures, why in the world did the Nazis push an enormous amount of infrastructure and money down to their submarine bases?
I was watching a video of the ship going down there a few years ago, and it was met by a frigate, a United States frigate.
Yeah.
And they shot across its bow, said, "You are not landing. This is a restricted zone. Yeah. Do not go here. You cannot go here." Well, what the heck's going on? We talked about this in Angel Wars. I have not written the description for Angel Wars yet. I said I was going to do that a couple of days ago. I haven't done it yet. I'll work.
We'll
on
get
that
to
today.
It.
Well, we'll get to it. But just there's something else going on in Antarctica. Period. I mean, we have this international treaty that we're not allowed to go there. Here's the thing. This is the Sabbatean Cabal, Luciferian Synagogue of Satan. They never listen to international treaties unless they're the ones that have done the international treaty because their god or their weirdo or their weird stuff they're involved with is all down there and they don't want you to see it. Now there you go. Think about that for a second, because this group has been operating under the ancient Canaanite religions for thousands and thousands of years, and these entities have been separated from God, and they can't get energy from God's field, and so therefore they have to get it from us. This is a weird planet we live on, if you want to call it a planet.
And why was it right after World War II, once we figured this out, after Admiral Byrd went down there in the beginning of the 1950s, we put together Antarctic Treaty with over 60 different, I think 50 or 60 different countries now in the treaty that all have their own little sections of Antarctica that they operate in with different type of bases. But it's to watch penguins, though.
Remember in the guy from the Pope, but some of those top leaders from those churches have actually gone down there. And I mean, why are they going down there for a penguin watch?
Well, that's what I'm saying, because they constantly tell you it's an ice continent, it's frigid, everything's frozen, there's nothing down there but ice, and you can watch the penguin migration. Why is there all this money that's blacklisted, budgeted with the Pentagon, with DOD? There's a significant amount of money. If you pull it up, I've had multiple guys tell me this. There's an enormous amount of money and infrastructure gets sent down to Antarctica. What for if there's nothing there?
Well, the Masonic lodges and the Illuminati weirdos, guys who took down Building 7, if you need a better description, they're always saying as above, so below. So there's some weird stuff going on down there from a mirror image. And this planet, if you want to call it that, it's more of a realm. We really don't understand what it's here for, but we cover that in detail and what we think it's here for in Angel Wars. So you need to listen to that series. Yes. It'll light you up. It'll make your Christianity a lot stronger, by the way.
RFK Jr., now switching gears, warns against vaccinating chickens for the bird flu. Now we've said we've put a pause on it. There's still going to be a push because Moderna and multiple other pharmaceutical companies have gotten enormous grants to build RNA gene therapy bird flu vaccinations now. He says, dangerous for human beings to vaccinate the birds. He said, essentially, on March 11th, 2 days ago.
This guy's a real thorn in their side.
Oh, I know. He said, primary concern with providing shots for egg-laying chickens. The vaccine doesn't provide complete protection against any avian influenza. However, the side effects of what it does to the chickens and with the flocks and the mutation factories and what it can do to the eggs. And there's no telling what this does long term to human beings that eat eggs on a regular basis after birds have been given this H5N1 RNA gene therapy shot. And he's 100% right. If you just take a snippet of the side effects that human beings have exhibited after the COVID-19 shot, and you're saying that now we're going to start giving these vaccinations to all egg-laying hens across the country, and we're going to hope it's going to turn out okay. Nah, dude, this is not a cool with any of the stuff that they're constantly doing in here. And also, here's another article on creatine. As you guys know, we have the patented creatine that comes out of
Switzerland. Great, great product. Some of the stuff here is bad.
Monohydrate, normally majority of the creatine comes out of China. A lot of it's massively contaminated, and a lot of it causes a lot of gastric distress. The reason why this happens, A, it's not very clean creatine out of China at all. So I've done all the research and testing on this for years now because I was a huge proponent of creatine in my 20s. I still am, but I was learning about it more. Secondly, creatine in high dosages in powder form is not healthy on the body or the gut. What happens is when creatine in high doses enters the stomach and it mixes with hydrochloric acid, it breaks down into its byproduct, creatinine. This is why you'll notice, and I've had this happen to me before and on numerous other people, when you start taking high doses of creatine and you basically load, you start noticing when you get blood work done, your kidney values and your creatinine values go through the roof. This is because the byproduct of creatine, you're only getting about 20 to 30% of the actual creatine, the rest of the byproduct. just because creatine is not designed to be absorbed and broken down in the stomach. It's designed to be essentially absorbed in the small intestines with food, like you're getting creatine in beef. It's not designed to hit your stomach in raw form with hydrochloric acid. So, long story short, the creatine we have is the cleanest in the world. It comes out of Switzerland, and they put it specifically in a time-released capsule. This capsule breaks down in the small intestine, so you get almost all the creatine you take directly in the small intestines, and it bypasses the stomach. Doesn't raise creatinine levels, doesn't cause kidney distress, also doesn't cause significant water retention. When you start taking a bunch of creatine and you blow up 10 or 15 pounds of water, you start drinking water, you're super thirsty, you feel like you're dehydrated all the time, you're drinking water, your muscles are swelling, it's not good on your blood pressure either. You're taking way too much water. Your muscles swell up with the water, but as soon as you stop taking the creatine, you'll notice you lose all that water weight. That's because the creatinine byproduct production, and it's causing water retention. You don't get near as much of that when you use the capsule form. That being said, secondary note, can creatine boost brain function when you're sleep deprived? Studies show that a large dose of creatine may offset cognitive difficulties related to sleep deprivation. I never knew this before, and this is a pretty cool topic here that I want everybody to look at. Give me four on here. It says sleep deprivation is common in the United States, affecting a wide range of Americans from 30% of adults in Vermont to 46% in Hawaii. They said after can supplements promote alertness? 2024 study out of Germany, of course, investigated the cognitive effects of creatine, which athletes use to improve their sport performance. The author wanted to determine whether the supplement might serve as a coffee alternative when working long nights. Research suggested that a single high dose of creatine may reduce the negative effects on the brain that stem from insufficient sleep. Effects of a single dose here. They went on to say the health.
I never knew this before.
Yeah. That study just came out. They 0.35 grams per kilogram of body weight or placebo, and they went and said the positive effect on the brain and brain performance was observed 3.5 hours after taking the creatine in sleep-deprived individuals. According to studies, the effects peaked after 4 hours and lasted up to 9 hours. The research suggests that a single high dose of creatine improves thinking and changes the brain's energy reserves during sleep deprivation. And so this is out of Columbia University professor that researched this. And what's crazy about it is the role in rapidly regenerating ATP, the primary energy source for cellular process. So, hey, helps you with strength, helps your muscle recovery. If you're working long nights, you're not getting enough sleep, hammer some creatine that we have, and it apparently helps out with, sleep deprivation.
Well, you know, there's some different, the thing about it is the brain, you know, is fat, and the whole bodies are primarily water. And maybe the creatine is actually increasing the water levels and helping the brain to work better and to function better. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you one of the reasons why recovery helps with creatine is because it rapidly regenerates ATP. That's why your gym and your energy is better in there. And so what they're saying is here now, the chemical connection between the nerve cells, which are crucial for cognitive tasks, makes the nerve cells work better with a high dose of creatine.
And, you know, also what they're saying, but they're not talking about here, is that people leaving their Wi-Fi on. That's a big deal.
I don't know how that relate to creatine, though.
Well, it's talking about brain function, how it decreates. So this is gonna help circumvent
that. Help the cells.
And, you know, a lot of people don't understand. I mean, at nighttime, I always turn off the Wi-Fi.
Well, we know 5G is a mitochondria disruptor. It's what it does. It disrupts the cells in the body. Disrupts it. So you're right about that. So that creatine may help offset some of that disruption, especially when you're already sleep deprived.
Well, people sleep with their telephones under their pillows.
Oh, I know. People fall asleep on their phones. But by the way, one of the worst things to do is be on your phone within about 15 to 20 minutes of going to sleep.
Blue light, yeah.
The blue light, even if you turn the blue light blocker on, you still are getting light, very direct proximity to the eyes. What happens is the eyes take it essentially as the sun's up. That's why your body's designed to wake up with the sun. It's designed to essentially go to bed with the sun in most cases, obviously.
Down
with the sun. And so that is one of the reasons why it's so important to cut the phone or cut the TV off at least 15 to 20 minutes minimum before you try to sleep.
Well, what happens is the pineal gland sees Wi-Fi energy as sunlight.
As light.
And so when you have this on, the pineal gland's going, oh, wow, we need to be wide awake. Remember, the pineal gland is what's primarily responsible for producing melatonin. Now, also, fluoride calcifies the pineal gland.
There you go.
And so fluoride in the water and fluoride in your toothpaste and fluoride at these insane dentists that go berserk if you don't want fluoride treatment, all of these things calcify the pineal gland, which decreases the body's ability to produce melatonin. But melatonin is produced in other parts of the body also. But the reality is that if you are looking directly at a screen or have a high Wi-Fi signal in your house at night, the pineal gland sees all that as light. So if you don't turn your Wi-Fi off, It's like this. It's like going out to the beach and trying to go to sleep with this noonday sun in your face. Now, sometimes if you're exhausted, you might do that. But the reality is over and over and over again at night, it's difficult to do that if the Wi-Fi is on, making you think it's bright sunlight outside. When I go to bed, I like to close all the curtains in the bedroom.
Yep.
I like to shut off all the Wi-Fi. I turn off my cell phone and leave it in the other room, which is kind of an overkill, but that's all right. And I make sure that I try to get as Wi-Fi free as I can, because here's the problem. I can still pick up Wi-Fi signals from my family, my friends, my neighbors.
Yep.
And so you already got that. So you're already dealing with that. So maybe the creatine will help. I think I'm going to try that, Austin. I'm going to try some creatine before I go to bed and throughout the day.
I am too. Normally, a lot of times, I always do it about an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours before I work out.
Mm-hmm.
You get a good pump from it as it gets absorbed. And best try to take it too. I mean, if you can get it in earlier, it's even better to get in earlier, like two or three times out throughout the day, and build your levels up if you're going to have a really, really intense workout. But everybody always, every single person that I know that's been into bodybuilding or training, they've always talked about using creatine. You got to do this loading phase. You're taking 5-10 grams a day.
It's too much.
And you're all bloated, and your blood pressure goes up, and you don't really feel good. It's because your body's creatinine goes way too high, and it's not healthy for your system. So getting proper creatine, that's why with ours, it's like 500 milligrams per capsule. You don't have to take 5-10 grams of creatine a day. You can take about a fifth to a quarter of the dosage you normally take, which is about 1 gram to 2 grams a day. And you get great results from it at that dosage without having to load it up and put too much stress on your kidneys.
I took it years ago, not this brand we're having, but a different one, and it bloated me up about 10 pounds. But
you get strong.
But I got strong.
You get real strong, but the problem is as soon as you come off of it,
you lost it all.
You lose all the water and the strength.
Well, I had a friend of mine yesterday sent me a text.
Yeah.
And he got off the creatine,
yeah,
stopped training as regular as he was, and all of a sudden his lean muscle mass drops and his fat levels, the body fat levels,
yep,
go up. I mean, instantaneous, like within a few days.
Well, and also another thing, too, even if, say, you're in a recovery phase or you have an injury or you have to have a surgery, low dose of creatine on a regular basis while you're recovering with ours is really good for maintaining muscle tissue as well. It'll actually help you preserve muscle tissue in conjunction with a good protein diet. Because I've always done this, and I've been pretty good at it now, dialing it in. If I've had an injury, like an issue with a bicep or an elbow or a knee, where you're not able to train certain body parts as much, you've got to take off those body parts for a while, you've got to change your diet. If you're normally into heavyweight training or you're into tactical training or you're in the CrossFit, I don't care what you're doing, and you're eating a lot of calories every day, and you're not getting fat, you're still staying lean, you're staying strong. If you cut the training out or you have to recover for something, you cannot keep eating those calories you're eating and eating bulk all the time and basically mass feeding. You will start getting fat very, very quickly, because a lot of people do that. They take off the gym for 4 or 8 weeks and also they're like, well, I don't want to lose any weight. You're going to lose weight. You're not going to be in the gym for 8 weeks. It's going to happen. It's inevitable.
You're going to lose muscle.
You're going to lose muscle tissue. But keep your diet inverted. Have real high doses of protein, low carbohydrates. Because you think about it, your body doesn't need enormous carbohydrates anymore because you're not burning near as much fuel because you're not training. Invert your diet. Cut the junk out. Still eat clean, but cut the calories back and maintain a high protein diet. And I promise you, you'll still maintain decent muscle, but you'll also stay really lean the whole time. So when you come back to train, you're not going to be like, well, I didn't lose any weight. I'm still 215. But now I got a gut on me and I need to train. You didn't help yourself. You still lost the muscle tissue. You just added more fat.
Well, and the best thing to do also is not to stop training. It's just to reduce the amount of training if you have to. I mean,
well, it depends what body part's injured.
Yeah. If you have an injury.
If you're in something like, I got knee replacement surgery, you got an ACL surgery, ankle surgery.
Yeah, but you can still go in and do chest.
You can still do upper body,
yeah,
but your lower body, you're not going to be able to train. Same thing with your upper body. If you blow a shoulder out or you blow an elbow out, it's hard to train because you got to be careful, too, how much you train the other side.
You have to be careful with isolateral training. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So there's ways around it. But, again, keeping your diet really clean and trying to eat high protein and less carbs will keep the body fat off you.
What I've learned as far as training, now that I'm at the age of 49 and holding, just thought I'd joke with you guys. What happens is I just work around injuries.
Right.
If something hurts, I just don't work it that day, and I work everything else but that. And usually it's a joint issue because I've overstretched and something else or I've used too much weight. That's why I avoid the heavy weight any longer. I mean, we used to do reps of 250 pounds on inclines. You talk about wiping out a shoulder joint. Oh my gosh. Or flat benches. Let's do one rep of, 340 pounds and let's see how many times we hurt our shoulder in the gym. Don't do stuff like that, by the way. If you can't do 12 reps with it, don't pick it up. Just don't pick it up. It's not necessary.
Well, sometimes you max out on inclines. You don't do 12 reps on it.
I don't do inclines anymore.
I love inclines. Incline dumbbells are.
I was doing those really heavy until I was about your age and I tore a rotator cuff.
The thing that I like about dumbbells is they they get that core strength really strong with the stabilizer muscles.
I was doing those real heavy weights when I was your age, and I tore a rotator cuff. And you know what? That slapped me around for a bit. I had to learn a lot. I go to exhaustion on the higher reps.
They make 125 dumbbells, 100-pound dumbbells in the gym for reasons, because people use them.
I used to use them too.
Right.
And then I tore a rotator cuff.
Okay.
I'm just saying. It's like you go to these places, CrossFit places.
Now, that's the restoric. No. CrossFitters die.
Everybody, now I'm not saying that everybody does this, but everybody that I know that's done that's injured a shoulder or injured their back or injured something.
CrossFit has some really good concepts and some really great workouts at their base core. A lot of it is old school military training, and it works really good.
If you're 20 years old.
Well, yeah, and also, too, make sure that if you aren't going into CrossFit, you're 40 or 50, you're not letting some 21-year-old CrossFit trainer push you. Do what you feel comfortable doing. Because I've been in the gym, and some of these trainers, I've gone to a couple CrossFit gyms and trained with a few buddies, and even I will come back and say, I'm not doing that. No, you didn't do 15 clean and jerks to failure, and then you do 50 rows, and then we're going to go sprint 50-meter sprints, and then you go back and do clean and jerks to failure. No. I'm not doing that. I'm not trained to do that right now, nor have I done that ever in a long time.
Nor do I ever want to do that.
Yeah, or you do box jumps while you're holding the weight above your head. I've seen some stupid stuff people do in the gym with CrossFitters to make it like, we're going to make it more advanced. You're going to stand on one leg and do kettlebell squats on top of a ball off a box jump, and you're like, that literally sounds like you're going to blow your ACL out. No, it's fine. All of a sudden you walk out of the gym, everybody's on crutches and all their arms are all, I'm like, what happened? I tried to do this. I'm like, there's certain things you probably don't need to do in your 30s, 40s, and 50s anymore, unless that's what you're doing.
No, I'd rather go for the long run. I'm talking about staying in the gym the rest of my life and not having a bunch of injuries
exactly
I'm having to
right.
deal with. It's just easier that way to me.
Yeah. So that's just a side note on that. If you do CrossFit, don't let – because they get these time competitions. They get this contest training, which is great. It pushes you. But make sure you know who you're training against, and if your body has been training for that, there's certain types of training.
Take our joint support formula. Take the supplements that you need to take to stay healthy. Take the B complex, which also helps to energize the mitochondria and ATP.
That's exactly right.
All of this stuff is important as you grow older. Somebody wrote me a letter today. You guys are talking too much about exercise. It profits little. I said, it doesn't say it doesn't profit anything. I understand that you can't be staying in the gym 6 hours a day.
No.
This is called the Ted and Awesome Rower Show, bringing the latest world news and health research. We're a health show.
I'm talking to you guys from experience.
Me too.
From experience, from hundreds of people that I've worked with, from gym times where I used to be in the gym for 3 and 4 hours. So now I'm in the gym for 20 to 30 minutes.
I'm talking thousands upon thousands and millions upon millions of reps that I've done over the years. And I'm
what works, what doesn't. Yeah. That's why I tell everybody, do your own research. Feel what works best for you. Certain exercises you may want to do. Some people don't even like being in the gym. Some people like doing outdoor activities and going and doing certain training. That's great too. Whatever works for you and what you feel the best and what you feel you get the best benefit out of. Because at the end of the day, just do something.
If you're going to climb a 50-foot rope with knots, make sure you got a safety belt on.
That's more in basic training.
I'm just saying, make sure somebody's spotting you in case you lose.
I still got, it was a 20-footer that last time I trained with Jeff at full kit with rifle, no knots. That's regular.
Did they have a safety belt on you?
No.
Don't do that. Learn from Austin. Don't do that.
I've got the ankles to prove it. Yeah, once you do enough, you can come down slow, though. But 50 or 80 footers like they have, Rangers School, Jeff told me about that. Some of the guys come off the rope. The bomb, they got all the spongy stuff. But a lot of guys went to the infirmary in Ranger School. This is coming off.
Use a support rope. It's like climbing a wall. They've got those walls. We did one of those one time in Gatlinburg. It was like 20, 25 feet high. And
you're doing a play like that.
And I they got a belt on me. I'm counterbalanced.
If you fall off,
it was fun.
It's fun. Rock climbing is a blast with that. With safety belts on.
Use a safety belt. Yeah. Guys, I want you to be around for a long time. I love you guys. I don't want you to check out real quick. Don't do that. We don't
appreciate you guys. You guys have a safe, strong, healthy night. Have a great weekend. You need anything, Team Health Masters is here for y'all. A lot of different specials we have going on, including the Fit Food Kit with the Purple Sticks. I'm going to put that on the website today. And we'll come up with a good name for it.
We do a better show on that scene.
It does do good. And again, when you're in a rush, you're trying to get stuff out, you can throw that in if you don't have time to make eggs or breakfast. 2-3 scoops of Fit Food with a Purple Stick.
Well, I had my 3 eggs this morning before I took that. I still feel pretty good. I actually feel really good.
So you guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again on Monday as always.